Hello and welcome to the Study with Andrea podcast. I am your English guide, Andrea Giordano, from studywithandrea.com. And I'm so glad you've joined me today for today's funny and curious lesson. In this week's lesson, it's all about animals. Well, animals and idioms. Idioms and animals may not have a lot in common, in your opinion, but actually, some of the best idioms include animals, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So first of all, let's talk about what are idioms. Idioms, spelled I-D-I-O-M-S. Well, idioms are phrases that mean something different than the individual words that are in that phrase. It's an expression that has kind of a poetic meaning. It's not a literal meaning, it's a metaphorical meaning, something like a metaphor, where you use certain words to paint a mental picture of something, and it means something different than those specific words. Are you confused yet? Idioms are confusing. Every language has them, actually. Every language has idioms. They can be very challenging to understand because it feels like there is a hidden meaning. And you don't learn idioms in your first week of English class. You learn them as you get better and better at the language. So idioms are learned usually by intermediate or advanced English learners, and you can learn a new idiom even if you've been speaking English your whole life. Idioms are everywhere, and they're actually very important to understanding conversational English, and even some written English as well. They're very common. So today we're going to talk about 15 common idioms that all have some kind of animal in them. So you'll see what I mean in a minute if you're still not clear what an idiom is. So for each animal-related idiom, I will give you the definition along with the idiom used in a sentence. So let's get started. There are 15 of them. The first one is monkey business. Monkey business. What do you think monkey business is? Well, I want you to think about the animal, the monkey, and how silly monkeys are. They're always having fun, swinging around, enjoying their time together. And I want you to think about that in terms of what monkey business might be. What is the business of a monkey? Well, it's fun or silliness. And when we use it as an idiom, it means kind of actions that aren't serious. So let me use it in a sentence for you. I'm tired of this monkey business. Sit down and do your homework. It means that these are actions that aren't serious and they need to be serious. There's a little bit of judgment involved in them. But monkey business usually means just something silly or maybe even not appropriate. Okay, the next one is elephant in the room. Okay, imagine with me the room that you are in right now. Imagine that it had an elephant in it. And then imagine that there are other people in the room. Everyone sees the elephant, but no one is talking about the elephant. Would that be normal? If there was an elephant in my office right now, I would need to say something about it. That would be very unusual, and I would want to talk about it with other people. So what does elephant in the room mean as a mental picture, or as an idiom? It means a problem or issue that everyone knows about, but no one wants to talk about. For example, if you have had a fight with a friend And then you go see that friend the next day and you're only talking about the weather, you might say, well, I think it's time we talked about the elephant in the room. I love that idiom. It's a good one. It's used very commonly. Okay, number three idiom we're going to look at is rat race. Rat race. Imagine in your minds little rats racing each other, just running around, going as quickly as possible. The definition of rat race is the tiring daily routine or your everyday life of working too hard. So imagine that you are looking way up from the sky down below at people walking through the streets going to work. They're moving quickly, the cars are going quickly, everything feels like a race, right, to get to work, but it can be very tiring. So it's called a rat race. Let me use it in a sentence. People who are tired of the rat race often vacation in remote locations. Okay, number four, cat burglar, cat burglar. The definition of cat burglar is a thief who climbs into buildings like a cat would. So a thief who is climbing into buildings. Let me use it in a sentence. Reports have come in of a cat burglar in our neighborhood. Lock your windows. Okay, so just imagine somebody who's coming to rob or steal from your house and they're just being sneaky like a cat would and coming in your windows. That's a cat burglar. Okay, next one is top dog. Top dog. Okay, top dog means the leader or most important person in a group. It can be like the president of a company or maybe just the best student in a classroom. It's that top dog. It's the person who is best or better than most everyone or better than everyone else. Let me use it in a sentence. Brittany worked really hard to be top dog in her graduating class. Do you see what that means? Top dog. It's a really good thing to be top dog. Okay, next one is cash cow. Cash cow. This one's kind of funny. Cash, of course, is money. And cow, you know, moo, it's the animal. The definition of cash cow is a strong source of income or a strong source of money. So let me use it in a sentence. Our new website is a cash cow. We'll never have to work again. It means something that is bringing you lots of steady money. That's a cash cow. Okay, next one is eager beaver. Eager beaver. The definition of eager beaver is a person who offers to do work without being asked. It's kind of a negative connotation, maybe. I don't know. It depends on how you use it. But it's describing somebody who kind of just wants to impress other people by how much they're willing to do. Or maybe they're brand new on a job and they just want to make everyone happy, so they're working really hard. That's an eager beaver. Let me use it in a sentence. The new guy at work is an eager beaver. He's been showing up early and staying late every day. All right, the next one is road hog. Road hog. Okay, a hog is like a large pig. And, you know, we can kind of imagine pigs and hogs, they're not very polite, right? They're not thinking about how to be courteous or kind to the other animals around them. They're just going to kind of push in there and push their way. So someone who is a road hog is a person who takes up more space on the road than they should. They're kind of moving around a lot on the road, and other people aren't going to go near them because they're taking up a lot of space on the road. Let me use it in a sentence. What a road hog. He needs to stay in his lane. All right, the next, oh, and by the way, you can use hog as a verb. So this happens with my husband and I when at night we have one blanket that we share in our bed. And sometimes I will take too much of the blanket and my husband will say, hey, don't hog the blanket. So to hog means to take too much of something, right? So you can use it as a verb. It's a great verb. Okay, the next one is black sheep. Oh boy, black sheep. This is a common usage, and it means a person in a group or family who regularly makes the most mistakes or embarrasses the group with their actions. So this is especially common when you're talking about a family and you're talking about that one person in the family who maybe doesn't have a good job, they get into trouble, they didn't have good grades, you know, they're not as quote unquote good as the other kids in the family. They would call that person the black sheep. The black sheep. So let me give you a sentence with this. Roger was always considered to be the black sheep of the family because of his time in jail. So you can use it in serious situations like that, but it's also kind of a funny thing. If you want to use it in a funny way, you can say, oh, I'm the black sheep of my family because I never got married or something. It's like, it can be a small thing that makes a little joke about it. Like, I'm the one who's the worst in my family. It's like a little joke as well. But some people can use it seriously too. So that's black sheep. The next one is the lion's share. The lion's share. So the definition of the lion's share is the biggest part or portion of something. So for example, I have a little girl who's only 1 year old, and she likes to eat some of my food off of my plate. But I always eat the lion's share because I'm an adult, right? And she just has a little bit. So it's the biggest part or portion of something. Let me give you another example. In a sentence, Beth is going to take the lion's share of the winnings because she was the one who bought us the lottery ticket. The largest part or portion of something. All right, the next one is hold your horses. Hold your horses. Okay, this is something you tell somebody who is in a hurry that you want them to stop and wait. So it really means wait or don't do anything yet. So I might use it in a sentence by saying, hold your horses. I'm not ready to leave yet. Hold your horses. Okay, the next one is pig-headed. Pig-headed. This is an adjective, and it means stubborn or not willing to change your mind. This describes someone who does not easily say yes. They want their way or their opinion. They don't change their mind easily. So in a sentence, you might say, stop being so pig-headed, Joey. We need to compromise. Now we have three animal-related idioms left. And number 13 is wild goose chase. Wild goose chase. Well, first of all, do you know what a goose is? A goose is that black and gray, large migratory bird that usually goes between Canada and the U.S. And I'm sure it lives in other parts of the world, but that's what I'm familiar with. But this is a big bird that flies in a big V with other birds. So I want you to imagine that goose has gotten off by itself, and now it's a chase. You want to try to find that wild goose. Where did it go? Well, it would be a crazy thing to try to find that goose. And that's kind of what we're getting at here. The definition of a wild goose chase is going after something that you aren't likely to get. So it's a very difficult kind of adventure to find something. So let me use it in a sentence to try to help understand this, and it will give you an idea of what I'm talking about. It's been like a wild goose chase looking for the perfect gift for Mark. Okay, so hopefully that helped you understand it a little better. It's like you want to find this perfect gift for someone, but you've looked everywhere and you can't find it. That's what a wild goose chase is. It's a wild goose chase looking for that. Okay, number 14 out of 15. This is a good one, and it's a very common feeling that I think people have. And the idiom is, like a fish out of water. Like a fish out of water. So the definition for this idiom is the feeling like you don't belong to a certain group or a situation. So the sentence I would use it in is actually two sentences together. I feel like a fish out of water at my new school. Everyone is so different than me. So the meaning behind like a fish out of water is that a fish only feels comfortable in water, right? If you take fish out of the water, they don't know what to do. They can't breathe. They don't, you know, it's not their home. It's not their habitat. So you would feel very strange. So imagine that feeling as a person, and that's what that meaning is. For our last animal-related idiom, it is a fun one. It is, let the cat out of the bag. To let the cat out of the bag means to tell a secret. Imagine you have a bag with a cat in it, and then you let the cat out. It would be really hard to put that cat back in the bag, right? So it's like telling a secret that you shouldn't tell. To use it in a sentence, I would say something like, I've got to tell you something. Joni is pregnant. Don't let the cat out of the bag, though. Her family doesn't know yet. So there you have it. Those are 15 animal-related idioms for you to learn and use. They are very common, so you can use them in all kinds of situations. And I hope you got something from this. Let me know what you think about this. And if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, go to iTunes or Spotify and click subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Thanks again for joining me for the Study with Andrea podcast. If you would like to join me for my full-length, several-hour video course, you can join me for the Clear English Pronunciation course at studywithandrea.com/speak. Thanks again for joining me, everyone. Happy learning!